Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the global equity rally continues for a second day. We are in Europe and Asia with the latest.
Investors are wagering central banks may slow the pace of monetary tightening.
And the Biden administration plans new restrictions on China's access to U.S. semiconductor technology.
New York City is relocating a humanitarian relief center intended for asylum seekers in Queens. Plus, North Korea launches a missile test over Japan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Yankee flirted with a no-hitter to win at Texas. Monday Night Football, the 49ers beat the Rams.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 57 points. Dow futures up 377. NASDAQ futures up 219. And the 10-year Treasury up 15 32nds. Yield 3.57%. And the yield on the two-year is at 4%. Nathan.
Karen, this morning's gain in futures follows the best day for U.S. stocks in 2 months. The S&P 500 index closed higher by 2.6%. Weak manufacturing data helped spur the rally. Some see it as a sign the Fed could soften its approach to rate hikes. Abe Deshpande is Chief Investment Officer at Centerstone.
The fundamentals as far as the groundwork for a new bull market are there. You just don't have, I don't think the valuations are quite there yet. And you certainly don't have a catalyst yet. But I don't see you know, a huge collapse or a calamity or anything like that.
Centerstone's Abe Deshpande believes core inflation has already peaked, hitting a high point in February.
Well, despite some optimism that the Fed may turn dovish, Nathan, central bank officials continue to bang the drum for more rate hikes. New York Fed President John Williams says tightening still has a significant way to go. He is one of five Fed officials speaking at events today. Your Denny Research President Ed Yardeni said the Fed should hike one more time and then end its tightening cycle.
I'm totally stumped, mystified, surprised that Fed officials don't seem to acknowledge that just focusing on the Fed funds rate as part of the monetary tightening cycle is a mistake when you also have QT2 and you have a soaring dollar. These are very restrictive monetary developments.
Here at Denny Research, President Ed Yardeni says the Fed's final rate hike should be next month.
Well, stocks are rallying across the globe this morning, Karen. In Asia, overnight equities posted their biggest daily advance since March. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Australia's benchmark jumped as much as 3.6%, the most in more than 2 years after the country's central bank delivered a smaller than expected interest rate hike, while three-year bond yields slumped the most since the RBA cut rates heading into the global financial crisis in 2008. Japanese stocks surged, with the benchmark topics rising around 3%. Liquidity in the region was relatively thin, with China and Hong Kong markets closed for a holiday. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. So we're also seeing a rally in Europe this morning. Let's go to London and get the latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. European stocks in the green for a third day today. The benchmark stocks 600 touching its biggest gain since June. Travel, technology and retail companies posting some of the biggest jumps today. A quick look at the GRR function on the Bloomberg shows that all 20 sectors are lovely shade of green today. And Credit Suisse also gained this morning, a day after those wild durations in the troubled lender's share price. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Let's stay in the UK now, where it is the third day of the Conservative Party's conference. Questions are swirling over whether Prime Minister Liz Truss can rebound from the political crisis created by last week's budget announcement. Let's go to Birmingham, England, and get the latest from the conference with Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Nathan. Karen, some of Liz Truss's top team have been telling Bloomberg that her project is dead in the water already. A humiliating U-turn on the top rate of tax from the Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng has led her own party to question her leadership, which puts her agenda in jeopardy. The Chancellor has promised to bring forward details of his fiscal plan and the independent watchdog's assessment so that it comes shortly. But one former cabinet minister who spoke to Bloomberg predicted the prime minister would be gone within a year. Now the question is how the government can afford the tax cuts that it has promised, and will the poorest in society see their welfare payments sacrificed in order to balance the books? In Birmingham, I'm Caroline Hepke for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Caroline, thank you. Back here in the U.S., U.S.-China relations are back in focus. Bloomberg News has learned the White House plans to announce new restrictions on Beijing's access to U.S. semiconductor technology. Details now from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Members of Congress have been pushing the White House to tighten controls around semiconductor equipment to China. Now sources tell Bloomberg News the Commerce Department will roll out a package of rules this week, including formalizing restrictions on technology to produce chips that are designated as 14 nanometer or better. It will prohibit the sale of tools for logic and memory chip production in China and restrict access to chips used in supercomputing and artificial intelligence. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Amy. As the war in Ukraine rages on, Elon Musk is weighing in. Recent Twitter posts have the Tesla CEO drawing the wrath of Ukrainians, including President Vladimir Zelensky. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett explains.
Those posts urge Ukraine to seek a negotiated solution to the invasion by Russia and to cede Crimea for good. Musk also launched a Twitter poll asking citizens of occupied areas of eastern Ukraine plus Crimea to decide if they want to live in Russia or Ukraine. The survey comes as Ukraine, Europe, and the U.S. denounce President Vladimir Putin's move to annex four regions and declare them Russian territory. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. As for Elon Musk's company Tesla, it plunged the most in 4 months yesterday after third quarter deliveries missed estimates. And it looks like investor Kathy Wood took that as a buying opportunity. Funds backed by Wood's ARK Investment Management bought more than 132,000 shares of Tesla yesterday. It marks the firm's first purchase of Tesla since mid-June. Tesla shares, they are up 3.1% this morning. And again, futures are higher. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. Still raining, still 45 degrees in Central Park, and the westbound LIE is closed at Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway. Wet roads will do it. Michael Barr's got more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City is relocating a humanitarian relief center intended for asylum seekers bussed up from Texas and southern border states. The proposed tent city at Orchard Beach in the Bronx has become a magnet for anti-immigration protests and for people who are concerned about the migrants the city plans to house at that facility. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the city is exploring solutions for the incoming asylum seekers.
We are not going to be afraid to try different things to solve these unprecedented problems that we're facing in the city.
Mayor Adams says the migrants will be sent to Randall's Island after concerns about flooding issues in Orchard Beach. North Korea has fired a ballistic missile over Japan for the first time in 5 years, forcing Japan to issue evacuation notices and suspend trains during the flight of the nuclear-capable weapon that could reach the U.S. territory of Guam and beyond. The U.S. said it strongly condemns North Korea's dangerous and reckless decision. Sheryl Sandberg, who once sparred with the American Civil Liberties Union, is now one of its biggest benefactors, providing a $3 million grant to boost its political activities around access to abortion. The gift from the former Meta Platform COO, which will be announced today, is one of the biggest abortion rights grants ever received by the 102-year-old nonprofit. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden toured Puerto Rico ravaged by Hurricane Fiona. The president offered reassurance the federal government will help the U.S. territory rebuild.
We're going to make sure you get every single dollar promised. And I'm determined to help Puerto Rico build faster than in the past and stronger and better prepared for the future.
Tomorrow, President Biden plans to visit Florida, hit by Hurricane Ian. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis pushed back when asked about evacuation measures in Lee County ahead of Ian. County officials have come under question for ordering evacuations too late after Ian's storm track made a late turn south for a more direct hit.
Stop. Okay. This has been dealt with. The Lee County has explained what they did. They went through that.
Governor DeSantis later said the state will, of course, look over the evacuations. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees' first series in Arlington, Texas, since Corey Kluber's no-hitter there last season, and almost another Yankee no-hitter, Luis Severino, would have taken it into the eighth inning, but Aaron Boone took Severino out after 94 pitches. Rangers broke up the no-hitter, but the Yanks won 3-1. Home runs for Giancarlo Stanton, Marwin Gonzalez, not Aaron Judge. He's still at 61. Yanks and Rangers playing a doubleheader today. Mets and Nationals will play two at Citi Field after last night's rainout. Atlanta off the sweep of the Mets, had only four hits, lost in Miami 4-0, but the Braves' magic number to win the NL East is still only one, which would mean a Met wild card series this weekend at Citi Field. Mets hoping that Starling Marte will be able to play. They have missed his bat out the last 4 weeks with a broken finger. 78-year-old Hall of Famer Tony La Russa says this retirement is final. He was out of managing for a decade and returned to manage the White Sox. Now stepping down, he has had health issues. Monday Night Football, big plays carried the 49ers.
Throws it, is caught by Deebo Samuel, breaks a tackle, 40. Deebo 35-30, 25-20, breaks another tackle, 15-10, 5, touchdown!
KNBR had to call that 57-yard touchdown came after a 32-yard TD run by Jeff Wilson and before a 52-yard pick six. The 49ers beat the Rams 24-9. Giants get ready to fly to London to play Green Bay Sunday. They're both 3-1. QB Daniel Jones's ankle injury said to be improving. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures right now are up 60 points. Dow futures up 402 now. NASDAQ futures are higher by 229 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 15 32nds for a yield just shy of 3.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, cloudy, occasional showers and rain today, breezy, highs only in the upper 50s. Showers end tomorrow, we'll get into the low 60s, back in the sunshine and low 70s on Thursday. Right now, rain and 45 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and a rally in global markets is extending into a second day. That's lifting U.S. stock index futures as well as European shares as investors wager central banks will have to slow the pace of monetary tightening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 63 points, Dow futures up 424, NASDAQ futures up 239. The DAX in Germany is up 3.1%. 10-year Treasury up 16 32nds, yield 3.57%. The yield on the 2 year is at 4%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 78 cents at $84.41 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $15.40 at $17.1750 an ounce. The euro 0.9886 against the dollar, British pound 1.1365, and the yen 144.71. And Bitcoin is up 1.8% at $19,950. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. North Korea fired a missile over Japan for the first time in 5 years, further ratcheting up tensions over Kim Jong-un's nuclear program and prompting a rare public safety warning to be issued by Tokyo. The U.S. Supreme Court began its new term. The new session welcomed newest Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first black woman on the bench. During oral argument, she grilled an attorney challenging the Environmental Protection Agency's power under the Clean Water Act. In baseball, the Yankees won. Aaron Judge still at 61 home runs with time running out. The Red Sox won along with the A's. The Orioles and Giants lost. The Mets and Nationals game postponed. Monday Night Football, the 49ers beat the Rams 24-9. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more on this market now. We're joined by Maria Waidman, senior multi-asset strategist at State Street. Great to speak with you, Maria, as we watch futures continue to climb after yesterday's strong start to the fourth quarter. Is this a rally with momentum?
Hello. Very happy to be on the show. I mean, I'm very much in the camp of sell the rally. I mean, we're still very, very worried about very little progress on inflation. We expect central banks to maintain the hawkish stance. I mean, for us, that's definitely a rally to sell.
So you're not swayed by some of the data that we've seen come in, the weaker than expected manufacturing data that could potentially make the Fed think twice about higher for longer interest rates. Are you pushing back at that?
Yeah, and I think we're in that camp. I mean, I find it quite interesting. So we had about 6 weeks post Jackson Hole when we had a slightly better data, which was seen as a kind of a bad news for financial markets, meaning that we need to do more. And then kind of yesterday, there was a day when we had quite a bit of weaker data, as you say, and we all kind of all change, and we are all going to kind of expect central banks to slow based on a couple of days of data. So for us, that's not enough.
So what would be enough? What are you looking at that would make you think that the Fed might start to pivot?
I mean, well, we're quite fortunate at State Street. We are privy to high-frequency inflation data. We have a measure of daily measure of online inflation, and that measure really showing us no slowdown in any sector bar transportation. So, yes, transportation prices are going down as oil prices are going down, but every other sector, electronics, home furnishing, apparel, healthcare, all of them continue to see quite strong price formation. So until that starts to turn down, that would be too early.
So what do you think the Fed's going to do? Go right ahead.
No, and I mean, the way we are kind of looking at inflation, why inflation is still strong, is still those stories we were all kind of, the whole market was very taken on last week, is we talked about still consumers have COVID savings that has not been spent in aggregate. We still talked about labor market. So those were kind of the themes of last week. And I mean, those things have not gone away in a week. So we still think that those are kind of underlying points of strength.
How long do you think it's going to take before Fed policy, whether it's higher interest rates or rollback of the balance sheet, is going to have any impact on some of the inflationary pressures that you're seeing?
Definitely a while. And it's quite interesting. I mean, obviously, every economist is forecasting inflation going down to 2%. And that's still a forecast, but it just takes a bit longer. And we're beginning to see kind of some signs, probably, and that's what kind of Fed is pushing against it, is a signs of inflation de-anchoring from those 2%. So, I mean, for us, it's still very hawkish central banks. And even when they pivot, for us, pivot is stop raising rates, not cutting rates. So we still seek a lot more work for central banks to do.
And in terms of that work, what do you see stocks going from here? What kind of levels are you looking at?
I mean, we're quite skeptical. I mean, given this outlook, you probably can guess we're quite skeptical of equity outlook. We still see multiple compression as a first step. So probably maybe going for like almost things like, I don't know, maybe levels like 15 times on S&P and PE multiples. And but what's even kind of more worrying is that after multiple compression, so far we haven't seen earnings crater at all. So far earnings growth has been okay. And that would be kind of a next step. So the longer we kind of postpone, the longer central banks continue to raise rates as we expect, the harder it's to achieve soft landing, and the harder the earnings will drop. So that's quite challenging outlook in our opinion.
Only about 30 seconds left here. It sounds like you're defensive as far as your investment strategy. What does that look like for your clients?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very challenging. I mean, we're still finding like relative value trade. So we, within our preference, we like healthcare. We actually like energy stocks. So there are like trying to find areas for where we can invest more constructively.
Thanks for this, Maria. Great having you on with us this morning. Maria Waidman, senior multi-asset strategist at State Street. Looking at markets this morning, a rally is on with S&P futures up 66 points, Dow futures up 450, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 250 points. 10-year Treasury is up 17 32nds, the yield 3.57%, yield on the 2-year right at 4.0, and NYMEX crude is moving higher as well, up 0.9% or 78 cents at $84.41 a barrel. Looking at Bitcoin, just shy of $20,000, a gain of 1.9%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, clouds, occasional showers and rain, breezy, cool, highs only in the upper 50s today. Showers will end tomorrow, low 60s. We'll be back in the sunshine and low 70s by Thursday. Right now, rain and 45 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
On Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers clients earn interest of up to 2.58% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. That's just one of the many reasons clients use Interactive Brokers to trade stocks, options, futures, currencies, bonds, funds, crypto, and more. Visit ibkr.com/interest rates to learn more. Up first, U.S. futures on the rise, on the heels of the best day for stocks in 2 months, still there's room to go lower from here. That's according to Wealth Enhancement Group Senior VP Nicole Webb.
The market may come down to kind of that 13 times to 15 times multiplier. And when we get there, the S&P looks more fairly priced within reason, closer to 3,000. And so we do think when you come through that support of 3,600, there's probably still room below that to go.
And Wealth Enhancement Group's Nicole Webb says the U.S. is likely entering a period of structurally slower growth.
In the meantime, Karen, Fed speakers continue the drumbeat for higher rates. New York Fed President John Williams says tightening still has a significant way to go. Williams is one of five Fed officials speaking at events today. Priya Misra, head of global rate strategy at TD Securities, thinks the Fed won't stop hiking anytime soon.
We should be pricing in a recession. I think a recession is pretty much baked in the cake for next year in the U.S. And I don't buy the shallow, short recession argument. This could be much longer lasting because the Fed is going to be reluctant to start to ease. They're so worried about the 1970s that I think they're going to be late on the way to easing policy. So the 10-year is attractive as a risk hedge.
Priya Misra with TD Securities says rate hikes could continue into next year.
Well, despite the hawkish rhetoric, global stocks are rallying this morning. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index rose more than 2% overnight, and Europe's Stock 600 is currently up 2.6%.
In England, it's the third day of the Conservative Party conference, Karen, and questions are swirling over the leadership of Prime Minister Liz Truss. Cabinet members tell us Truss will struggle to enact key parts of her economic plan because her standing in the party is already so damaged.
In corporate news, Nathan, Tesla CEO Elon Musk enraged Ukrainians in a series of Twitter posts in which he said that the country should seek a negotiated solution to the invasion by Russia and cede Crimea. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky responded in a post of his own, questioning whether Musk supported Ukraine or Russia.
And back in the U.S., Karen, Bloomberg News has learned the Biden administration plans to announce new restrictions on China's access to U.S. chip technology.
And that's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Rain, 45 degrees in Central Park. Still got that overturned tractor trailer. It's got westbound LIE closed at Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City is relocating a humanitarian relief center intended for asylum seekers bussed up from Texas and southern border states. The proposed tent city at Orchard Beach in the Bronx has become a magnet for anti-immigration protests and for people who are concerned about the migrants the city plans to house at that facility. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the city is exploring solutions for the incoming asylum seekers and that everyone is safe.
We're going to provide the public safety. That's my responsibility. My responsibility through the police commissioner, the police department, all of our law enforcement entities is to make sure that the communities where we have any shelter, migrants or not, that is safe.
Mayor Adams says the migrants will be sent to Randall's Island after concerns about flooding issues in Orchard Beach. North Korea launched an intermediate-range ballistic missile over the Japanese territory for the first time in 5 years. Residents in northern Japan were told to take cover as the missile flew over and fell into the Pacific Ocean. Japan says North Korea's latest missile launch is reckless and strongly condemns it. Japanese government spokesperson Hirokazu Matsuno through a translator.
North Korea's actions, including the repeated ballistic missile launches, are a threat to the peace and security of our country, region, and international community. And it's a serious challenge for our country and the entire international community.
The launch is seen as an escalation in response to military drills between the U.S. and South Korea. President Biden and the First Lady arrived in Puerto Rico. It was hit by Hurricane Fiona. The U.S. territory was hit by Hurricane Maria 5 years ago. The president says he wants to make Puerto Rico resilient with $60 million in infrastructure aid.
And yes, Puerto Rico is a strong place, and Puerto Ricans are strong people. But even so, you have had to bear so much and more than need be, and you haven't gotten the help in a timely way.
President Biden will visit Florida to survey Ian's damage tomorrow. A high-stakes January 6th trial kicked off in D.C. District Court. Five members of the far-right militia group, the Oath Keepers, face decades behind bars. The defendants are charged with seditious conspiracy. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street, and John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, it's one of the things you never used to see in baseball and now see all the time. A manager taking a pitcher out even when the pitcher has not allowed a hit. Just the third start for Luis Severino since being injured. The playoffs are around the corner. Severino was at 94 pitches through seven innings, and Aaron Boone removed him.
A decision that sucks to have to make because he was, you know, very efficient too. You know, the decision would have been if he was through eight at that point. You know, I didn't really want to go more than 90 with him today. I was going to try and let him finish that seventh inning no matter what.
Rangers broke up the no-hitter and the shutout in the eighth inning off Miguel Castro's just back from injury. Yanks still won at Texas 3-1. Giancarlo Stanton, his 30th home run. Aaron Judge did not hit his 62nd, maybe today, doubleheader in Texas. Mets and Nationals will play two at Citi Field after last night's rainout. The Braves had champagne ready to go, but lost in Miami 4-0. Their magic number still won. The Phillies celebrated. They won to clinch their first playoff berth since 2011. So the 12 playoff teams are known. Matchups still to be determined. Week 4 ended with the 49ers. Seven sacks and a 24-9 win over the Rams, who they've now beaten seven straight times in the regular season. All four teams in the NFC West are 2-2. Jets are 2-2, yet to win at home. They host Miami Sunday. The Dolphins quarterback will be Teddy Bridgewater. Tua Tagovailoa out with his much-debated concussion. Tyrod Taylor is in concussion protocol, and Daniel Jones has an injured ankle, said to be improving, but the Giants Sunday in London against Green Bay may have to start third-string QB Davis Webb, who's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in this rallying pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta watching the bouncing ball that is Tesla, and not just because of Elon Musk's Twitter feed, right, Kriti?
Right. Well, a fast and furious rally in futures right now, one that is matched by carmaker, if you see what I did there. Nathan, just for you, Tesla
well
shares, TS, thank you, I tried really hard. TSLA shares are up just shy of 4%. What's interesting here is that this isn't just a Tesla move, this is a broader technology move. So you're seeing this across the board here. Remember, what one of the big issues with having kind of a sustainable bull market in the stock market was that you didn't have technology stocks on your side. So there is a little bit of hope here that perhaps this is the turnaround story that a lot of people are waiting for. That being said, with this kind of volatility, is this sustainable is going to be the real question. Right now, Tesla shares up specifically, though, TSLA up about, like I said, 4%. Kathy Wood, very vocal about buying the dip on Monday. So that's going to be significant. But remember, Elon Musk is also perhaps catching a little bit of hate on Twitter right now. I mean, as usual, it is Twitter and it is Elon Musk. So keep an eye on the kind of the comments that he makes, especially when it comes to this market. Let's stick with the car theme, though, because that is something to keep an eye on. Rivian, R-I-V-N, is your ticker. Shares are up almost 10% on the day. They're at session highs right now. Whether that stays throughout the session, once again, is anyone's guess. But this comes after they reported a boost in production and reaffirmed its annual goal to build 25,000 electric vehicles. Remember, Rivian has been trying to build up their scale, especially with in the face of inflation and commodity pressure. So this is a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, interesting to see if that'll hold up given the issues with production that Tesla reported just a few days ago. And signs of hope this morning as well for Bed Bath & Beyond investors?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a little bit of a story here. BBBY is your ticker, up 2.3% in the pre-market. This comes after the Wall Street Journal reported late on Monday that some of their home furnishing retailers bondholders are working with Perella Weinberg partners ahead of debt talks that they're expected to be held with the company. And we know that Bed Bath & Beyond has been dealing with a liquidity crisis of their own that has included restructuring, that has included layoffs, that includes store closures, but it's also included issuing some of those bonds. So it looks like they're taking one more step in the right direction with Perella Weinberg. And so this is going to be something you want to keep an eye on. Investors, pretty sweet on the shares right now. BBBY, like I said, up 2.3% in the pre-market, Nathan.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta keeping an eye on those individual names for us in early trading. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the Tuesday morning open, the rally is on after yesterday's nice start to the fourth quarter. S&P futures are up 67 points, building on the gains from yesterday. Dow futures up 453 and NASDAQ futures on the rise by 255 points. That's a gain of 2.3%. 10-year Treasury's up 16 30 seconds, yield 3.57%. The yield on the 2-year right now, 4 even. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, clouds, occasional showers and rain, breezy, highs in the upper 50s. We'll get into the low 60s as showers end tomorrow. Sunshine for Thursday and low 70s return. Right now, rain, 45 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are showing important follow-through after yesterday's gains, with Dow futures up 440 points, S&P's gained 66, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 253. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.57%, gold is higher by 11, oil is climbing, and Bitcoin is rising by 2%. Japan rose 3% overnight, while European markets are also in the green, led by 3% gains in France and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 10 o'clock, factory orders, durable goods orders, and the JOLTS job openings. In deal news, South Korea's neighbor to buy Poshmark for $17.90 a share. And wrapping things up, Bank of New York Mellon was raised to buy over at Citigroup. Gilead raised to overweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. North Korea launched an intermediate-range ballistic missile over the Japanese territory. Residents in northern Japan were told to take cover as the missile flew over and fell into the Pacific Ocean. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that liberating settlements from Russian occupation is now the trend. His comment comes after the strategic eastern town of Lyman was fully cleared. The town is part of the regions Vladimir Putin annexed following referendums termed illegal by Ukraine and its allies. In baseball, the Yankees won. Aaron Judge still at 61 home runs with time running out. The Red Sox won along with the A's. The Orioles and Giants lost. The Mets and Nationals game postponed. Monday Night Football, the 49ers beat the Rams 24-9. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, whose NJII unit has joined with pharmaceutical giant Merck to establish the Merck Digital Sciences Studio to support drug discovery and development. More at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Three scientists jointly won this year's Nobel Prize in Physics for their work on quantum information science that has significant applications, for example, in the field of encryption. Alan Aspect, John Clauser, and Anton Zellinger were cited by the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences for discovering the way that particles known as photons can be linked or entangled with each other, even when they are separated by large distances. Bloomberg News has learned that the Biden administration will announce new restrictions on China's access to U.S. semiconductor technology. That's an escalation of Washington's efforts to stifle Beijing's industrial ambitions. It could also hurt growth in the $550 billion sector. And Facebook parent Meta Platforms is planning to close one of its offices in New York after scaling down its expansion plans in the city. Sources say the company is exercising its option to terminate its lease at 225 Park Ave, south in Manhattan. Meta has been consolidating its New York workforce building in offices in Hudson Yards and moving ahead with plans for the Farley Building near Penn Station. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what some of what's going on in D.C., including those chip technology limits to China that Karen mentioned. Also making news, new details on the Justice Department filter team at Mar-a-Lago. President Biden taking action to boost abortion rights on college campuses. And Elon Musk angering Ukrainians with his tweets about the war against Ukraine. Bloomberg's Joe Matthew is with us now, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On Bloomberg Radio. Lots to get to, even in the run-up to the midterms, Joe. But let's talk a little bit more about these chip limits that the Biden administration is proposing, because it sounds like this could be a potential further point of contention, a point of friction with China.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's a follow on to a couple of things. Nathan, Karen Moscow was just talking about what happened roughly a month ago. If you might remember, this was a real knock on shares of NVIDIA as the government put new restrictions specifically on NVIDIA's artificial intelligence chips, AI chips that are used to do all kinds of things, including develop self-driving, autonomous driving technology, facial recognition, voice assistance, that type of thing when we talk about AI. This is going to be a little bit wider, though. The administration is going to roll out a package of rules this week, as we understand. Bloomberg is reporting this, that will put very specific and codify specific restrictions on the types of chips that can be exported. I don't want to get too wonky here, Nathan, but those designated as 14 nanometer or better are what will be restricted from China. These are the most complex chips made. By the way, the smaller the number of nanometers, the more advanced the capabilities. So think about that as like 14 and below. That's going to be essentially impossible for China to access those chips.
Well, what's that going to mean for U.S.-China relations, particularly as we're getting closer to this all-important Communist Party conference that's expected to get Xi Jinping into an unprecedented third term?
Well, you probably know the answer to this. I mean, it's just it's feeling more and more like a Cold War. And the reaction that we heard from that first set of restrictions on NVIDIA did get some pushback from China. And by the way, the companies may not love this either. This is going to stifle growth potentially for chip makers like NVIDIA. And I'll tell you what, the stock is higher this morning in pre-market trading, but it's already been beat down because of this story. It's down, gosh, about 7% over the last month or so since that announcement was made. So it gives you a sense of the concern for not just NVIDIA, but companies like AMD and other chip makers that are behind the world's most complex and advanced chips.
Yeah, interesting to see this develop even further after that Chips and Science bill that was passed earlier this year. I want to talk a little bit more about what's happening at the White House today. Of course, we've had President Biden focused on hurricane relief, but today it sounds like he's focused on boosting abortion rights.
Yeah, the president said following the Roe ruling, as you remember, that he would use, obviously his ability to impact this story is limited, but that he would use the weight and the power of his office to do whatever he could through the executive branch. And today, Bloomberg reports the president will unveil new guidelines from the Department of Education. Okay, so we're going through education here that would require universities to protect students who get abortions from discrimination. This follows on similar moves by the president, for instance, to maintain travel rights, interstate travel rights for people, and rights to privacy. This would be the latest one here. And they're going to give $6 million as well in grants to expand access to reproductive care. This is a memo that was distributed by the White House, and we expect that guidance will be made clear soon, publicly soon.
And this guidance is coming, of course, just about 5 weeks before a midterm that I would imagine Democrats are hoping will be focused at least to some extent on the threat to abortion rights.
Very much so. I mean, it's gotten to the point now when it depends on what poll you're looking at. And these numbers can be very noisy because this is a very unusual midterm cycle coming out of COVID, coming out of a very difficult period of time, potentially going into a recession. We've got inflation. We've got a war. But Roe, the Dobbs ruling, is incredibly important. And as we saw in a couple of special elections that followed it, and in the turn in polling that would at least soften the blow on Democrats in the House, for instance, and might allow them to preserve the Senate, is a massive game changer. And it's one, really, Nathan, that strategists have not been able to quantify. It's something that we have to wait till this election to see play out.
All right. And finally, Joe, what's the reaction in Washington to these Twitter polls that Elon Musk put out yesterday about the war in Ukraine and the occupied territories? What is going on with that?
It isn't this something. Elon Musk knows how to get into stories. Mm. He essentially tweeted what he saw as his peace plan for Ukraine that would include them giving up Crimea. Then to your point, he had a poll on whether people who live in the areas that had been annexed by Russia, if they would rather be Ukrainian or Russian. The Ukrainian government did not love this. Zelensky himself, President Zelensky, tweeted, "Which Elon Musk do you like more?" They're not very pleased with this, although he did follow up to say that he supports Ukraine. I don't suspect that any of this went through the State Department, though, Nathan, if that's what you're asking.
That's not exactly where I was going on that, Joe. But in terms of, I guess, getting into the thinking in Washington, mm-hmm. is Elon Musk trying to pull his weight apart from the Chancery Court issue that he's got going on just outside of Washington in Delaware? I mean, what's the thinking in Washington
who knows with Elon Musk? These are all great questions here. Remember, he put his satellites, his internet satellites, the Starlink system, over Ukraine to help them get internet access. He has, you know, you could argue that he's been trying to help here, but sometimes when Elon Musk is hanging around tweeting at night, things like this happen. Whether he has real motivations here, ask the folks at Twitter about how they read his tweets, and we'll get back to
you. Yeah, I suppose so. And we've seen the reaction in Ukraine as well. We just can't repeat it on the radio.
Thanks, Joe. If you have the bleep handy, I'll be glad to tell you what they said.
Yeah, sorry. I've got to dig that out. Thanks, Joe, as always. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew. Much more to talk about this afternoon, as always, on Sound On, 5 p.m. Wall Street time across Bloomberg Radio. And you can read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. If you're in Washington, D.C., we're at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures up 61 points. Dow futures up 416. NASDAQ futures are higher by 239 points. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.